They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That's what Jesus said. You give them something to eat. Jesus, he catches me up short here. I have never been responsible for a crowd of, the Bible says 5,000 men plus women and children. So a lot of people say that's got to be at least 10,000. I'm going to go with that. 10,000 hungry people expecting me to feed them. I've never been in that position exactly. I've never been in the position with 10,000 people expecting me to feed them, and I have no grocery store or money or a restaurant or a kitchen, let alone food. However, routinely, people come into the church with huge needs. Tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills, eviction notices, marriages that are in a spiral of abuse, somebody's son locked up at Cook County, somebody died, impossibly broken relationships, you name it. So I think I can imagine how those disciples might have been feeling when this impossible, overwhelming need, without a lot of resources, was dropped in front of them. They're finite. We're finite. Our deacon's fund is stretched thin. And I know it's not just me. There are many in this room who feel the weight of the needs of our world, feel the weight of the needs of our neighbors, know our own finiteness. And so I empathize with the overwhelm that the disciples must have been trying to manage. And so their response makes sense. They told Jesus that he should send the people away so that they could go to the neighboring villages and fend for themselves. Now, never mind that this plan was impossibly optimistic. According to the books I've read, only the very largest cities in the region, like maybe Jerusalem, had more than 10,000 people in them. And so if a crowd this size showed up at one of those villages, they would have been totally overwhelmed and totally overrun. They would have not had much more capacity than the disciples. And yet, the disciples knew that it was impossible, humanly, to care for these people. And so, it makes sense. They felt that it would be far better to send the people away before it got too late. So hopefully they would take care of themselves. And not only that, the disciples knew something about their rabbi, Jesus, and what he was going through. They knew that Jesus had just gotten word that John the Baptist had been killed. His head served on a platter at the ruler, Herod's, birthday party. John the Baptizer was Jesus' cousin and a lot of people say his mentor. John the Baptist was the guru and prophet whose teaching and preaching was preparing the way so that when Jesus began to preach, people were at least a little bit prepared to receive Jesus' message. And John the Baptist's death signaled that Herod was noticing popular preachers who were drawing crowds in the wilderness. John the Baptist's death must have struck a blow to Jesus. And when Jesus heard the news, he did what he must have hungered to do. He went off by himself to pray, to be with God, to be reminded again from God of who he was. But the crowds followed. I hadn't really thought about it this way before. I was rereading this passage this week, but reading the whole chapter as a whole, as Dave and Nita just did for us, it becomes clear that the crowds also had just heard the horrifying news of John the Baptist's death. And they, too, were likely disoriented and disturbed and looking for comfort. They were needing someone who could help them make sense of this horrible news that was going on. The murder of this charismatic young preacher who had probably baptized quite a number of them. And so that's why 10,000 plus people traveled in the wilderness with apparently limited preparation for the journey. I was thinking about this crowd and why it is that they must have been so motivated to go out to hear Jesus. I was remembering the Sunday after the 2016 presidential election and how our church was packed that Sunday. And I learned from many ministry colleagues that this was true in churches all over the country, in communities where people had been hoping for and expecting a different election result. Churches were packed. People came to church that Sunday because they were looking for a reminder that God is still in control. They were needing to be with people to pray and to find some sense out of the disorientation that they felt, that I felt. There was this need to be together, this need to pray. I don't know if you remember feeling that way yourself or not, but that's my memory of what it was like. And I wonder if perhaps it was a little bit like that for this crowd that had just heard about the murder of John the Baptist. And Matthew says, Jesus had compassion for them. In the Greek it says, literally, he felt it in his guts. And so Jesus cured their sick. For the full day, Jesus healed needy person after needy person after needy person. It must have been exhilarating and hopeful and also exhausting. And then that's when the disciples decided that they wanted to call it a day. And that is when Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That's when Jesus did the famous miracle. This miracle of feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle, aside from the resurrection, that is mentioned in all four Gospels, so it must be important. Jesus took a few pieces of bread, raised them to heaven, gave thanks, broke the bread, and fed the people, and they were satisfied. If you've read the commentaries about this passage, or you probably don't even need to, you may have even thought about this already, a lot of people argue that it's not credible that thousands and thousands of people would have traveled out into the wilderness, the desert, like they did, and none of them thought to bring food. A lot of people argue that surely many of these people came prepared, that they had picnics packed away in their satchels, and that the real miracle is not so much that Jesus multiplied miraculously, but the real miracle is that Jesus' teaching persuaded the people to share with strangers, to share with people who didn't deserve it, to share with people who were perhaps not clean. That's the miracle. And they're not wrong. Jesus came to earth to change hearts, to demonstrate a way of thinking that is generous and abundant and open for all the people. And it's true that Jesus' way of living and Jesus' meal here was in direct contrast with Herod's way. Herod's way was abundance for just a few, and it says in some translations, fear of the crowds. That's why he killed John the Baptist, was fear of the crowds. Jesus' way was the opposite of that. Jesus' way was abundance for everyone who came. They do not need to go away. You feed them. That's Jesus' way. And if people could really get that, if they could really live that, if they could really recognize that abundance, that would be a miracle. But if I'm going to be honest, that is not enough for me. If Jesus is really only just a great persuasive speaker who can persuade people to share their lunches, we don't need him. We've got Oprah. We've got Michelle Obama. We've got Dr. Martin Luther King. And so as uncomfortable as it makes me to say it sometimes, especially to people who are not raised in a Christian tradition where this story has become ordinary since they've heard it since they were two, like our kids did today, I need a Jesus who really does miracles. I need a Jesus who, as the storybook Bible that we read this morning puts it, is taking nothing and making it everything. Because I know that if it's all about me and what I have to share, even if I share it 100%, it is not enough. I was reading a sermon this week from a Lutheran pastor, Nadia Bolse Weber, and she preached this sermon on this passage at a conference for worship leaders a few years ago, and I'd like to read from what she says. She says, "I wonder if, like the disciples, we too make the mistake of not always realizing how different God is from us, and what a good thing that is." How different God is from us, and what a good thing that is. That we have a God who can actually feed so many on so little. A God who created the universe out of nothing, because nothing is God's favorite material to work with. Perhaps God looks on what we dismiss as nothing, or insignificant, or worthless, and says, "Ha! Now perhaps that is something I can do something with." The resource that Jesus had in abundance that day, that a few loaves and a few fishes became enough food for 5,000 or 10,000 people, was not the snacks that the crowd brought and had hidden in their backpacks. The raw material that Jesus had to work with that day was the need of humanity for a God that can do miracles. Because that need is an endless resource that I can't transform into a meal for 10,000, and you can't transform into a meal for 10,000 people, but God can. Uh, Nadia Bolz-Weber goes on to say, maybe the mistake the disciples made that day was not only that they had forgotten how God works, but also that they forgot that they too were hungry. They defaulted to, what do I have to give? Rather than, what do I too need? And that what I need is also what the need is of all of the people are in that crowd. The disciples forgot their own personal need for bread. And they began to think that it was their own personal resources that were the thing that qualified them to pass out the bread. But the truth is that it was not their cooking skills. It was not their ability to preach persuasively enough that they guilted everyone into sharing. What the disciples had was their own deep hunger, which matches exactly the needs of the crowd. That's what we forget. Those of us, and there are so many in this room who are in this category, who are spend their time and their hearts serving the needs of so many others. How often do we forget this? That we ourselves have this asset going for us. Our own personal need for a Savior. A need that is identical in quality to those we lead. And this need that we have for Jesus, it is not a scarce resource. This need for forgiveness and for love and for mercy, may that be the nothing from which God creates real miracles. Sisters and brothers, join me. Needy friends of Jesus Christ, join that crowd in the wilderness. We who are troubled by corrupt and power-hungry rulers just like they were, we who are sick and need of a healer just like they were, we who are hungry just like they were, there is no need to go away. Come and eat. Amen. Amen.